Good morning, and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Ashwini.
Good morning, Bob.
Our assignment from yesterday. Go back and review the conversation in your head that you've jotted down about this focus to see if there are any voices you've not captured. Example, voice missing. This is my life. I'm allowed to have a perspective and express it if I want to. RL, what you see. All right, here is our first caller. And now I'm live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Bonnie.
Hi, Bonnie.
Hi. Well, first I want to say thank you so much for doing this. This has been just an amazing experience for me, the whole practice and Sangha, and particularly this year with the way we've done it with control and then receiving and now participation. They've all supported each other and kind of fed into each other, so it's really been quite amazing. In particular, for me right now, what is coming up is being influenced hugely by the workshop that you did on Sunday, Ashwini.
Uh-huh. So what are you seeing about scheduling and participating and a voice missing?
Well, you closed with that parable about Martha and Mary and Jesus and Martha doing the work. And so I am totally Martha. I am so Martha. And so I was really just kind of like gobsmacked when you said that, and that was the end of the show. It's like, oh my God, but wait, shouldn't she be helping? So that kind of opened up a lot for me, including around receiving, and then last night, Voices Missing. I actually woke up at 3:30 and listened to one of the shows, and it was my mom saying, my son was, I don't know, probably two or three at the time, and we were visiting her, and she said something. My mom's a lovely person, but she said something like, "You've ruined him." And I remember thinking, oh my God. And I think it came from him saying, expressing a desire or a want or a need, and I'd kind of forgotten about it, but last night I realized that for me to do something other than work first, like that's something I've also taught my son, is, you know, you do the stuff you have to do first, and then you play. And I thought, part of this thing has been like, oh, well, but why, actually? Who says? And also that somehow in there's guilt in receiving, that I don't deserve it, and someone will find out that I'm actually not supposed to be here, and I'll be in trouble, and I'm doing something bad by receiving. But also that... I'm not even sure I can...
So let me stop you there, right, Bonnie, because I want to catch up with what you're saying. So the way this all comes together for you is, from a participation perspective, you are not allowed to participate unless... In other words, you're not allowed to have your life, receive your life, without actually deserving it, and therefore you need to work for it. Right?
Yes, yes. Yeah? And also that... to have to express needs or desires, my own wishes. One of my mom's things, the only thing I really remember especially, is that a cardinal sin was to be conceited. And that was, I quietly integrated that into my life, so I watch my brothers have done the same thing, so that when she said that about my son, it was like, oh my God. To even be here and to take up space and to have needs and desires and to want to play in that somehow made him spoiled or ruined, in her words.
So let's bring this back to you, right, Moni, because it's not about your mother and it's not about your son. It's about the conditioning that that has constructed your reality that you're continuing to attend to and believe, right? So
yes.
I think what you're tuning into is so participation we've defined as being part of being here for your life. It just as Mary was is sufficient. You don't have to be Martha in order to earn your place in existence. And so to be able to recognize that that is a very strong component of the conditioning that drives your suffering is really, really good and important to see, right?
Yes, yes. Yeah. And can you speak to, because I'm still like, but wait, do you guys want to eat anytime soon? Like, my experience in my life has absolutely been that I'm a single mom, and it's absolutely been that if I don't do it, it doesn't get done. So if I don't get dinner together, if I don't get the rent together, it's not going to happen.
So that is yours to do, right? It's part of your perspective. And probably we want, if you want to explore it on a schedule, on the perspective of the compassionate scheduling workshop, we might want to do that on a different forum. But in terms of participation, we all have things to do that is ours to do. If I don't make my dinner, I don't get to eat. But that doesn't mean that that task or that participation has to come with an enormous amount of suffering around you being deserving or undeserving or ruining something or not being conceited or any of the other voices that seem to be overlaid on a simple task. And I would project what Jesus was saying is, for Martha as much as Mary, the choice to be with life does not have to, that's the choice. You're either with life or you're with ego. And in that simple task of being here for your life, you're being here with Jesus, you're being Mary. It's only when I have Martha's orientation that I can't be with life, I can't come from center, and I have to do, which is the other perspective that it seems that your conditioning is offering, that there's any confusion or suffering.
So would you be saying that when I'm having a good time preparing food, and then when I notice that I'm not anymore, that I'm getting annoyed, that I'm being Martha, that I should stop and just say, okay, now I'm going to go sit with Jesus and listen, and I'm not going to try and control the food thing, and that will work out as it works out, but I'm not going to try and be in charge of it? Is that what you're...
Yes, a little reframe, if I may, on that, right? So here I am, perfectly being animated by existence, playing my part in making the food. And then my attention goes to, oh God, why do I have to do this? Why am I a single mom? Why is it all up to me? Right? We've left Mary being at Jesus' feet and gone off to being Martha, feeling completely burdened by her responsibility. So yes, you could go sit down and say, okay, I'm going to pick up the recorder and say, why is it important for me to do this? Why is it my part to play in making the food? Why do I enjoy it? Why am I giving? You know, there's a way in which we could redirect the attention back from, oh my God, this is not, there's something wrong with this, which is clue to identification, and then just come back here and go, okay, well, I'm here, I'm making the food, and I'm doing it with love.
Okay, so to notice when I'm shifting over from wholeheartedly enjoying, because I do love doing that,
exactly.
When I'm doing that to when I get to a place where I'm now exhausted or tired and I need to attend to myself or there's something else
right.
I'd rather be doing and see whether I can actually do that, give myself
right.
permission to stop doing my chores, my to-dos and controlling and let
right.
it go.
That's right. And come back to, okay, well, if she needs some assistance and she needs some rest before she goes and does it, let's give it to her rather than have her be driven by that conditioning that says, you got to do, and the only person for whom life is not there, for whom, in words, Jesus is not there, right, is Bonnie. So let's make sure she has the time she needs with life also.
Okay, it forms itself also into a picture that I realized I was carrying of myself kind of delaminating, like being my being being composed of leaves of whatever, wood, or and when I leave myself, which I do a lot, that it's like a piece of plywood delaminating. And once that's happened, when I realized I had that was holding that image, it's like once that's happened, it's really hard to get it back together. Really, you can't ever get it back together. Plywood never goes back together, maybe, you know, under extreme temperature and pressure. And I think that's what I do, too. It's like, oh, my God, if I'm going to get myself together, it's going to require incredible pressure and work and heat, like making coal into diamonds, and how hard that is.
So hang on there, right, Bonnie? So this is sort of much more like a call that we would do on open air, which I would encourage you to call in and talk to Sherry about. But with respect to what we're doing in this retreat is a structure that allows us to see any suffering process and, as you said with the plywood, deconstruct it. So if that's an issue that you're looking at, and it's an aspect of your being able to be in your life, then you would just put it through the process, right? So what are the voices saying? What are the beliefs? Who are the sub-personalities? What are the missing voices? What's the self-hate? And use the structure to become aware of how suffering is caused for you, rather than the content becomes so believable that you have to solve for, find meaning, or basically try to work out what the issues are, cause and effect, from within the system, which will never happen.
Right, right, yes. Yeah, Sherry has said that to me before. Do not think about it and do not try to figure it out.
That's right. And okay. And stop being interested in the content.
Okay.
Right? Because everything you're telling me is within the process of conditioning and suffering for you. So as long as you recognize that, you can always have the experience you choose to have, and that becomes the focus of your practice. To redirect the attention to the choice of life experience that is available to you if you're not in that conditioned process.
Okay, I will definitely listen to this again. Thank you
so much. Thanks, Bonnie.
Bye-bye.
This is Laura from Berkeley.
Hey, Laura.
It's Bonnie.
Hello. I've been...
Hang on, Laura, 1 second. I think Bob meant to unmute you. Hang on. Did you mean to unmute Laura, Bob?
No, my cue jumped, but I think we can...
Okay, go ahead, Laura.
I've been looking at participation as a should. How that gets turned into that. And I really appreciated the prompt for this focus, because it just gave me, I think, a different view of participation. I mean, what's coming to me now is like participation as receiving.
As receiving your life, then, right? Rather than earning a place in it, right? Which I project is what the should becomes. If you don't participate, that means X, Y, and Z about you, whatever that means, right? For each of us, it's something different. But to look at participation as receiving your place in the part of things, it's a very different perspective, yeah.
And it's like when the participation becomes a should, it's like it loses all its richness, you know? It's
There's no joy in it.
And I lose touch with, I think what you were talking about with the last thought, I lose touch with why am I doing this? What does this mean to me? Or what, you know, like all I can see is the should. I can't see the care. I can't see that I actually enjoy this. I can't see any of that.
That's right. Exactly so. It becomes such a one-dimensional, joyless thing. I don't even know how to describe it. I think one of our other callers from last week was talking about how at the end of the day for each of the tasks on the task list to really recognize what about that task is the reason to do it, right? I love doing this. It gives me a sense of connection. Conditioning wants to make it on the dimension of task, but it's so much more, right? Because you, in doing that, are actually doing it for love, for connection, for service, for whatever it is that it brings you, and not just the way conditioning interprets it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Shoot is deadly.
Yes. Yeah, so it feels... I'm excited to... I was feeling myself kind of in that yesterday around some work stuff, and the sense that I got... I had this sort of view of, like, sort of jumping ahead in there, but it was like this... another possibility of just this fluidity of... Because there was this sort of like, well, should I do this, or should I do this, or should I... You know, and just... That was just this sense of, and I think that in that fluidity, it was like just sort of dropping under the should and into participating. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what do I get to do rather than what I should do, mm-hmm. right? Changes the whole dimension
and
being controlled. Go ahead.
And like, what's now? Like,
what's now?
You now,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. What's mm-hmm. now to do? Yeah. Yeah, because what I should do is in the future, right? It's kind of mm-hmm. telling me what I must do later, as opposed to what's there to do now. Mm-hmm. What a lovely point. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks, Laura.
Thanks, Laura. And Shri, I'm going to bring on the next caller. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Ashwini. Hi, Bob. It's Janet calling.
Hey, Janet. How are you?
Hi.
What are you seeing?
I'm doing great. Well, I had this experience this morning during my reflective listening buddy call that was, it was so clear what I saw. I was actually sitting there and I was watching water were I'm not at my home, I'm somewhere else, and I was watching water flowing, and I was just sitting there, and we've almost been here for a couple of weeks, and I was just, like, very much in life, just sitting there, and the clarity came where I watched conditioning come in and say, yeah, but have you really been here for the last 2 weeks? And it was so beautiful because it was the first time, and maybe not the first time, but it felt like the first time that I really saw the distinction between life and the program, the process. Mm. It was almost like it was a someone had put a what do you call it? A tape player or a cassette. And they just turned it on, and it was like that was conditioning, and that conditioning was just like the soundtrack that had nothing to do with life. Mm. And I'd never seen it so clearly. Like, there's life that just doesn't start and stop, but there's this continuity of life, and then there's this soundtrack that starts, and it's always the same track. Mm-hmm. Like, let's not look here. Let's go back and let's look at all the stuff that didn't happen and what you probably didn't do and take you out of the moment. And then it always comes back around to, hey, you're not paying attention to what's going on right now. Mm. You know, and it's like that loop.
Yeah.
But it was, and so I thought, oh, my God, I just want to just report that. It was so powerful to see that they weren't, the conditioning is not life. I mean, I knew that, but it's just to see it that clearly. That
yeah,
it's and just, it's just a button that gets pushed on and a button that can be pushed off when I turn my attention.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It but is, I can't push the button of life on and off.
Right? Yes, because you're in it and you are it, right, Janet? I mean, to have that
yes.
kind of experience is a religious moment, right? Because it sounds
yes.
like... The perspective completely shifted from being in conditioning and occasionally catching a glimpse of life to being in life and recognizing what conditioning's part in it is. And that is that's just unbelievably, it's one of those moments of grace, right? Because we get it with that clarity that you're talking about. Mine yes. is to be part of this. That's my participation. And yes. mine's not to be part of this. I could turn it off anytime. I don't have to participate in the reality that is being created by a recorded program.
Yes. I had never seen the clarity of the recorded program mm-hmm. as clear as I saw it. And it was so much fun to be able to be talking about it right at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Like it
yeah.
was, that's what I was talking about with my buddy. So mm-hmm. I find that, you know, so I am putting a plug for Reflective Listening Buddies. I find that things like that happen a lot on those calls.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I project it's because we are talking about our process, right? And
yeah.
we're being reflected. And it's the reason
yeah.
why we encourage recording and listening, because unless we bring what's inside the mind into conscious awareness, we don't get to see it, because it's always inside the mind otherwise.
Yes. Yeah. So then so there's the program, and then there's the call today, and a lot of times I can't get to this call, but today I could, and I watched the program come on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, you know, you haven't been participating, and and I was like, oh my God, there it is.
Mm-hmm.
There's the program coming on. Mm-hmm. There's life just saying, hey, you're free at 12 o'clock, get on the call.
Right.
And call in and participate, and then the program comes on.
That's right, to stop you. And if you aren't paying as close attention as you were paying, and you had seen it with such clarity previously, that's how we're stopped from being part of our own lives, right?
Yes. So it doesn't matter if I'm sitting there watching the water, if I'm doing anything, that program comes on, it's the same program, it's the same wording for me, for my karma, it's got the wording down, but it's always a different, like, here, let's plug it into here. Let's plug it
mm-hmm.
into here.
That's exactly right. And the payoff, as you can always see, is even if you're in your life having the most exquisite time or being life, and the words get really fuzzy here, right, Janet, because I project when you're in that watching that water, there is no you watching the water, right? It's just, as you said, a flow. And then all of a sudden, there's an interrupt to say, exactly, to say you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, right? And so
yeah.
even if you have a life and you're participating in your life and being part of life, what you're being told is that you're not. So even if you have a life, you are not receiving it.
Right.
If we listen to that program, right? Because
yeah,
we believe
you
that
will never
narrative.
Be able to right, and you will never be able to receive it.
That's
because
exactly
it's
right.
always taking you out of that moment.
Exactly, and telling you what you're not doing, or what's wrong with that, what's wrong with you, or what's wrong with that. Exactly.
Yeah, and
so.
Then when you do what it says for you to do, it's like, well, why are you doing that? You should be
right.
doing the other thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my
yeah.
God, so good. Anyway, I had to call in.
You absolutely did. And as we were reframing with Laura, you get to call in, right?
I get to call in.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I do. I get to call in, celebrate. Yeah, love
yeah.
it. Thank
love
you
it.
So much.
Thanks, Janet.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Janet. And I want to get another caller on, Ashwini. I just love this whole call about basically that choice that you talked about in the first call of, you know, am I going to go with life or am I going to go with ego?
Yeah.
And it seems like life is just, you know, I got this image of like this sort of like conveyor belt sort of thing that I can either get on it or I can make that other choice and just stay in that conversation with ego.
Mm-hmm.
But it's there for me whenever I choose it.
And the wonderful part about it, right, Bob, is you're already on it. You just have to recognize that you are. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. All right. I'm going to bring out another call here. Next call, you're now live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself?
Yes, this is Joyce from Northern California.
Hey, Joyce.
Hey. Wow, this has been amazing. It's like you're talking directly to me, which I guess if I'm in life,
you are.
Exactly. All of us are all these nodes of intelligence talking to each other. So what are you saying about your missing voice? What's the missing voice in the content of participation?
The missing voice is that I carry around, or ego is telling me, it goes back a long, long way, that I'm not loved, I'm not cared for, and that I've had these awful things happen to me through my life. And I don't think I've ever seen how this is what I live with on that, just a level that's always there.
So
occasionally there, go ahead.
So Joyce, let me just make sure that we're looking at what our content focus, which is, I mean, our process focus is participation. And so the voice that you noticed that's missing or is not very, it's always there, so it's subliminal for you, is that you're not loved and that there are horrible things that have happened to you. And the way that relates to participating is that's how you're taken out of your life?
Yes. That's there all the time, and there's a fear of putting myself out into, you know, being in life, which when ego's talking, it doesn't come out that way, for fear of these things are going to keep happening.
Aha. Uh-huh. Yeah, so powerful to see, right? To keep you in fear, saying that if you put yourself out, if you're open, if you're vulnerable, if you participate, then such horrible things are going to happen to you. So it's better to stay without, I mean, just to hold back and not participate rather than expose yourself to that, right?
Yes, yes. Mm. And I don't know that I've ever really seen it that clearly before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I know I haven't.
Right, because it's what we say in some other ways, right? You don't want to be disappointed, and so you spend your life avoiding disappointment. Right, and
yes.
So then you don't get to have all of the upside of participation and everything else that you could experience if you weren't afraid of being disappointed.
Yes,
right.
Yes,
and it's so powerful to see how, and I'm so glad you brought that up, right, Joyce, because what you're pointing to is the process of, here's the thing you need to be afraid of, and so don't participate because it's going to happen to you. And so we think we're safe and we're protected, or we're protecting ourselves from pain or whatever it is, but we're also losing everything else that we could possibly experience if we put ourselves out there. Joy, happiness, love, enjoyment, compassion, hope, every human experience that is available to us, but we're not allowed to partake of that because, oh yeah, you're afraid of being hurt.
Yeah, and the hurt was so deep that it, conditioning has made it so deep that it was like there, you know, being in a black box, you know, being in the dark room and not.
So may I, Joyce?
Like,
let me
sure.
Just pause there, interrupt you there, because here's the thing that we don't want to get confused about. There are things in our life that were painful, that happened to us that were painful, that were traumatic, no doubt. But it happened to us. What conditioning does is to keep that pain alive by constantly saying that it was painful. It's not happening to you right now. It happened to you before. So the best way this practice offers us to be free is to let it go, to assist the person to have that experience that they actually had, to accept that it happened, and to free them from that place rather than retelling the story over and over again so that the person is never free.
Whoa. That's, yeah.
right? Because right now, you can be out in the world doing whatever it is that you want, but that story of, oh, she was so deeply hurt, and the hurt was so deep, did she get to have the experience of feeling hurt and that pain? If she did, then she's probably ready to go out into the world and participate, rather than be trapped by the fear of, oh my God, it's going to happen to me again.
And the other part of it is that it's not taking care of the person who was hurt, which is a crock, because all it's doing is bringing up the things that happened over and over again, which is just making the events worse all the time.
Yeah,
not letting go.
That's exactly right. It's a giant feast for the hungry ghost.
Woo!
And poor Joyce doesn't get to have a life.
Wow. That's huge.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Thank you. Nice. Thank you so kindly. Wow.
Thanks a lot, Joyce. Take care.
You too. Bye.
Thanks, Joyce. And I love that whole conversation, Ashwini. The thing I love about practice is that, you know, all these things that we're told to be afraid of, you know, conditioning doesn't want us to examine them, you
mm-hmm.
know. And, you know, there's, you know, practice is always pointing us to, like, so, is that so? Is that so? Is that so?
Mm-hmm.
And once we see that it isn't, then we can make that choice to, like, well, one, to take care of, you know, whoever, you know, had to receive those messages originally, and then make that choice again and again to actually participate in this life here.
Yeah, bring all everything into the light of conscious awareness, and then doesn't stand up under scrutiny, right?
Exactly. Yeah, which is why it fights so hard against that scrutiny, because it has no chance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Great. All right, that brings us to the end of the show, Ashwini, and here is our assignment for today. Is there a duality operating that you can identify? Assignment. Rearrange the voices on each side of the duality. Which aspect of ego do you see on each side? RL. Example. One side. It's not really a problem. Head in the sand. Second side. You have to do something about this. Exasperated.
All right.
Thank you so much, Ashwini.
Thank you, Bob.
Okay.
Go happy.
Go happy.